evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew back from high school were posting stuff, and it was wrong, and they wanted to do that. And I did what I wanted to do, which was correct them, which they didn't like. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known to shoot in Tribble all over the place. You can find me pretty much under all social media under that name. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I am currently residing outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. Things are a little bit different tonight, so just bear with us while we're going through with everything. On the rest of the panel tonight, starting from just north and over the border into Canada, Heretic Woman, good morning.
Good morning. So, of course, I am from Ontario, Canada. I was raised in the United Church of Canada, which is relatively liberal for a church. But then I got stupid and I joined a Calvinist sect, and that wasn't one of my brighter decisions. And after a little while of that, I got smart and I became an atheist about 26 years ago. And now I spend my time talking about secularism and trying to promote it wherever I can.
All right. Moving off to the Midwest of the United States. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. I'm Bridget Finch. I was born and raised in the South, former fundamentalist, and now a secular humanist who tries to fight the patriarchy at every turn, and I've been fighting back against theocracy since 2003.
Just south from me, over into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning. Well, yeah, technically it is. Technicality. Don't ask. Hi, my name's Joe. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois, and I spent 8 years in the United States military, and I'm now living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a graphic designer, as an atheist, and a guy whose eyebrows are far too angled.
It's okay. We'll live with that. Moving to the right, over into the shade of D.C., otherwise known as Doc Capital. Good morning, Unrenowned Tech.
Good morning, folks. I'm Unrenowned Tech. I've been currently residing in Maryland. Joe, you kind of got the whole Jack Nicholson thing going on with the eyebrows. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And, I just won.
The problem with that is...
Hey, no comments from Freddie Mercury until you've been introduced properly. good thing I got Heretic muted. I think I broke her.
You're starting to get on my nerves.
Move along, gentlemen.
And I'm an atheist.
Wow, that was short. All right, we'll go with that. And
I'm wearing pants today. It's got to be, you know, I got to go short.
Fair enough. Moving across the pond, for the moment, right now, our only European contingent is Joseph. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. Yeah, after you drink a lot of coffee, you're European. but I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada, and I moved here in the late 80s. And I was brought up in a religious atmosphere and got out of it just before I got into it completely. And I'm doing everything I can today to promote personal value judgments and independent thought.
So, thank you all for hanging out with us tonight. If you are watching live, thank you very kindly. You can go ahead and take advantage of the question and answer system and drop us a message. If there is stuff that is just social in nature, I'll let it go for a while and I'll clear it out eventually. So, if you see something that's just chit-chat and it just suddenly disappears after a while, nothing personal, just try to keep the questions in there. So, really quickly, Katie, hi, we see you over there. Renee, thank you very kindly. Hope that you are taking good care of yourselves over there. We'll be getting over to you guys in a little bit. Let me go ahead and say, well, you know what? Let me go ahead and get the 5-minute freestyle out of the way first, simply because I want to get it out It's been hanging over my head for a couple of days, so I just want to get this out of the way. So, apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist. Your five-minute freestyle goes right there. Now, the title that I got for you at this one is My Rep Beats Your Morals. Now, some of you remember, some of you are too young to remember, the 80s, when the word rep was like a thing. Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough to look back at it all and go, okay, it's reputation. Okay, what, you know, what's the big deal? Well, calling it your rep was a big thing. And yeah, it predated the 80s, but you know, it's what some of us grew up on, so that's what we've got to work with. But my rep beats your morals. What the hell does that even mean? Well, believe it or not, it means a hell of a lot. Your morals, we've talked about morality and what goes into it and what it's supposed to mean, and it's a big wibbly wobbly ball of crap to kind of wade through. And yeah, I'm kind of mixing the streams a little bit. Yes, there's a couple of references for you for TV and movies. Pick up on them? Good. Your morals are what you think that you should be doing. It's how you feel about something, whether or not you should do something or not, or how you should do something or how not. Your reputation is far and away more important. My reputation is far and away more important. Your reputation is based entirely on how other people see you. That's determined by what you do. How you feel about something is immaterial. What you do, that means everything, man. You want to go out there and you want to cut people off in traffic, you know, they're going to think that you're, well, you can pretty well figure what they're going to call you, what they're going to think of you. But maybe there was a reason why you needed to cut in front of somebody. Maybe there is something really important. Maybe wife went into labor and you really got to go, you really got to go, you really got to go. And you cut somebody off because you had to. It's not because you really meant to. It's just that, you know, that you, something is really more important. Normally, you wouldn't do something like that. All right, so what somebody else sees in you is important. It means a lot. But why is that more important than somebody else's morality? Well, simple. You can go ahead and have the most vile and disgusting ideas and thoughts about how things should be. But what you do, how you interact with the rest of society, speaks volumes more than what you feel about a topic. Yeah, generally speaking, how you feel about your topic is, you know, going to determine how you deal with stuff and what you do. But here's the big question. What's more important, having a good reputation or being a hypocrite to your own self? Most people wouldn't say that being a hypocrite's a good thing. But let's face it. If it comes down to a matter of you want to be a good person, it doesn't matter how you feel about something. What matters is what you do with it. And if that means that you have to go against what you thought, you know what? Doesn't matter. I'm ending early. Not because I feel like I'm rambling, but because, truth be told, nothing else to say. Do good by other people. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you feel. You do good by somebody, by society. Isn't that more important than what you really think about a topic? This is episode 75. We're going to be talking about the 70s and the 80s. Effectively, we're going to be talking about our formative years and what went into it and what we remember and some stuff that you younger folks, A, don't know about, and B, you're never really going to know about because, well, probably doesn't exist anymore. So let's deal with a couple of pieces of housekeeping. First off, of course, Heretic Woman, we've had some good information, for instance, that Rafe Badawi has not been beaten in recent memory. That's correct?
That is correct. However, he still is in jail in Saudi Arabia.
Which means, as of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 1 month, 23 days since Rafe Badawi was unjustly jailed, and we are still waiting for you to come back. We're hoping for you, man. We're hoping for you. And for this week's five countries who've been paying some kind of attention to us, a very large good morning and hello to the following countries. And this is going to be a real pain in the butt for me. Bulgaria. Zdravdit. I believe is how it's pronounced. It was in Cyrillic, and I listened to it a couple times over, and I'll be damned if I know how to pronounce it properly. My apologies. To Lebanon. Merhaba. Again, I'm butchering, I know it. Italy. Ciao. Cambodia. Chomres. Damn it. Chomre Bsur, I believe is how it's pronounced. Please forgive me. And New Zealand. I actually found the native New Zealand tongue, which is Maori, I believe is how it's pronounced. So for New Zealand.
Maori.
Maori. Sorry. In Maori, hello. That one was actually a bit of a surprise for me. So there we go.
You want to see something really cool. The Commonwealth contingent of the New Zealand Army for the United Kingdom, they have included Maori ceremonial dances before, and that is something to watch. You want to talk about intimidation? I wouldn't fight them.
Oh, is that like the haka and such?
Yeah!
The All Blacks.
Yes, amongst others. If you have if you have not yet seen a haka from the football leagues, oh, you should really watch these guys. It is amazing. It is amazing.
Think about football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. Think about all those guys in their nice, inviting, brightly colored uniforms and their shorts and their t-shirts. Replace them with big, huge, bulking guys in military camo. Yeah, it's a little more intimidating.
Can't imagine how that could possibly be. All right, so some of us decided that we were going to get a little bit dressy, and so to speak, it just kind of worked out that way. Let me give you guys a couple of pieces of information to work off of. If you're listening to the show right now on the podcast, first off, yeah, you're not going to get the visuals. When you get the opportunity, come and check us out. What I'm wearing is, believe it or not, is my old outfit from when I first went to college. Back in 80, oh God, this was 88. Miami Vice was kind of still a thing. Don Johnson was still kind of a thing. So the white simple jacket with a wife beater T-shirt under it, yeah, that was kind of the thing. And yeah, I know. I don't know who it is. I don't know what her name is.
Go ahead.
Thanks. The funny part about it was this jacket of sorts, believe it or not, yes, is the same one that I first met my wife in, because U.S. Air lost my luggage going from Long Island to Buffalo. And I had to do this 2 days in a row at college for the first day of school. And wow, that was freaking annoying.
Ironically, that's not even a long distance either.
No, it was an hour in the air, and somehow or other, it from Islip to Buffalo, they got in the wrong plane. Now to their credit, to me,
your luggage is in New Zealand.
No, because it didn't come back with any kiwi in the zipper pouch or anything like that.
No, somebody did a haka on it.
I didn't have to clean anything off, so yeah.
And, no, Beth, he's not the youngin' of the show. I'm the youngin' of the show.
Yeah, she gave me all kinds of hell. Beth is saying, "Oh Lord, Shujin, you is a youngin." Yeah,
you are.
Leaving the joke aside for a second, yeah, I graduated from high school in 1987. I went to college for 3 semesters only. I didn't leave with a diploma, but I left with the love of my life, so I didn't do too bad for myself.
Yep.
Did better than me.
No, it depends on how you look at it. I actually, you know, one of the cool parts about it, though, was while I was there, I wrote the first email instruction manual of sorts explaining how email works, because we were using VAX mainframe computers at the time.
Oh.
With the school name of SUNY Freeba. Yes. Holy crap. SUNY Freeba. And we would be logging in order to use the BitNet services. People don't remember what BitNet was, but I remember.
Oh, I do.
I still have some printouts from the Star Trek Next Generation listservs.
Did you have a BBS?
I did not. I did not, but I knew some people who did.
I was the server, which means I had about 20 telephones.
Wow.
Back in the day, man.
Your turn to dial in.
Yep. And I think the thing that I'm most, I don't want to say proud of, somewhere or other, I may still have some old yellow and white tractor feed paper, wide paper, with ASCII art on it. Still, somewhere. Hey,
you want to talk about getting into your luggage. We helped my stepdad clear out his old stuff a while ago. He still got his old original edition D&D papers in his college stuff. The paper is yellow.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Shujin decided to go ahead and get dressed up. I wasn't gonna get dressed up, but I'll be damned if I'm gonna let the hairball show me up.
If you still have some of the original books. Time, those can be worth money too.
Yeah, he's still got them. Meanwhile, Joseph just doesn't give a cuckoo.
Well, to be fair, Joseph, you didn't exactly think about it. You didn't exactly know.
Joseph hasn't got a clue.
He's all out of cuckoos to give.
Joseph's kind of got the inverse coloring of Freddie Mercury going on here.
Yeah,
I just woke up like about 15 minutes ago, so I'm in my pajamas.
Close up. Hey, dude, we'll
discuss more.
Women's pants, so hey. Don't feel bad.
We'll get more into the fashionable stylings of Farouk Bulsara later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bridget went all kinds of preppy, didn't you? Look at you.
I did.
Olivia Newton-John 2 Scoops.
Got a pocket collar on my polo. It's pink with stripes on it, and a blue sweater tied around my neck.
Are you wearing white parachute pants?
But I am wearing khakis!
If not for the unicorn in the background, I would say you are so New England right now.
And I have my nickname changed to Muffy.
Muffy the Werewolf Slayer, very nice.
Thanks.
Oh, I hit that on there. Ow.
Yep. Yeah. And, go ahead.
Yep. And I was going to say, and Heretic Woman went ahead, and she is actually joining us. Surprisingly enough, even though she was off at an event that had alcohol, it did have alcohol, didn't it?
Oh yes, free alcohol.
Hey, this event has alcohol too.
I'm going to have to go and get some in a bit, but yeah. Wine, gin and tonic. Oh yeah, I was at a family wedding, so
I don't break out the whiskey on the show because you guys need me coherent.
I don't know. I think you have to cut my sperm. Vlogging would be hilarious as all hell.
I don't get slurred. Shujin can attest to this. I get cranky. I get punchy, but I don't get slurred.
Well, maybe you should switch from whiskey to tequila.
No. I'm not going to respond to that, considering we probably have some folks who drink tequila that are watching this, and I'm trying to avoid offending too many people, at least on that regard.
I drink tequila.
Well, the crazy thing is that I still like the 80s enough that I still have a lovely wide-brim hat with a large bow that actually I recently bought, but actually fits in with the 80s rather well.
Sadly, Shujin is not the youngin' here, because I'm pretty sure I'm the only... I'm pretty sure I'm alone here when I admit the fact that I am of the 70s. That's, you know, my birth taking place, or 80s, excuse me. My birth taking place in the 80s is probably the only good thing that happened to me in the 80s. The 80s were a very rough time for me and my family. It's a long, dark story. Shujin knows.
Yeah, I know. He, unfortunately, was one of the test subjects that they tried to find out if Automan should be on ABC TV, and that was just really, really bad.
Well, you hear about all those test monkeys that they fired up into space and all that. And
dude, Automan rocked!
So you've been to space.
Let's go to space.
Yeah. And really, you ask Neil deGrasse Tyson, he'll tell you, haven't we all? I mean, really?
Damn it! And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. So,
and to finish off the clothing run, me, Unrenown Tech, is I had a choice to make. I could either go with my headbanging garb, because I was a headbanger.
Or a lazy bowler.
Or I could go with my Italian heritage bowling shirt. That the Italian, less popular Italian people were in New York City back in the day, especially before they got into trouble with the law.
Yes.
And I figured this would be more amusing.
So, some people who might check out my personal video series, I was doing a video series called When I Was Your Age, where I kind of talked about stuff from when I was growing up and how it related to how stuff was now. So you want to go check some of that out, you can go look up my personal pages under the name Shujin Tribble. There are a couple of good
ones
in there.
Those were great. They are good. I've seen every single one that you posted and was like, dude, more, I want to see more.
See, the problem of it is it's a little tough to come up with stuff after a while, and it's real. There's a lot that goes into trying to put together something, even kind of semi on the fly. So, be that as it may, I may get back to it. It's just a question mark of trying and how. But in any case, so like I said, I graduated high school in 1987. So I was born in time, technically, to see the Apollo 11 moon landing. I don't have any memory of it because I was only, I was almost 5 months old. So I have no memory of it whatsoever, but I was there, which was a pretty cool thing. And being that I've got that as a linchpin formative part, I want to start over there. I mean, we got a lot of fun things that we can talk about, but this is something that's both fun, amazing, and kind of semi-pissy off-y for me. As far as the moon landing, the very first time that man stepped on the moon, a new world entirely, which was, fraught with all kinds of danger and who only knew what was going to be happening. What do you guys think of the possibility of now, finally, 45 years later, to finally getting back to it on maybe even a permanent basis?
I am looking forward to it just so that I can finally tell all the damn conspiracy theorists to shut the hell up!
I'm with you. It's like...
It'd be easier to shut them up if we didn't accidentally lose the footage.
but we
still... No. We didn't accidentally lose the footage. What actually happened was they misplaced it among all the other tapes that they had, and as, you know, back when NASA's funding really started to take a hit, they started doing the whole reusing the VHS tapes thing. And some intern saw VHS tapes that were labeled cryptically and decided, you know what, we'll go ahead and wipe these and reuse them.
Yeah. It was filmed in film. So the originals are around somewhere. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, to be fair, the stuff that was on videotape, as we would think of it today, was typically on very large videotape, and by very large, I mean,
Betamax was smaller than VHS.
No, because you have Studio Beta, which is a huge size, and then you have the small version that was for the public.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got them confused. My apologies.
Yeah, the stuff that they would have been using, you would not, if you had seen a typical VHS or Beta videotape cartridge, this would not be something that you would recognize immediately as videotape. It was quite a bit larger. Typically, it would have been upwards of 2 inches wide, if I remember right. And they were just freaking massive pieces.
Yeah. I've got a box full of them in my basement.
Yeah. So the expense on those was, forgive me, astronomical by comparison. Mm. Now you can't really find videotape. You can, but it's so why would you even bother anymore? And yeah, the stuff was reused on a fairly regular basis because it was so damned expensive. I mean, who would have thought, you know, like Joe said, stuff was just gone because, you know, it's weird. You don't know what the hell is on it because it's labeled however it's labeled, and who's going to sit down and watch, you know, 3 hours on a cassette to find out, oh, is this something worth keeping? Oh, why the hell keep it? I mean, that's one of the part of the reason why, and this is showing my age a little bit, why the early episodes, the early seasons of the Hollywood Squares doesn't exist anymore, because they reused the videotape. And if you've seen some of the episodes of the Hollywood Squares from the mid-70s, late-70s, oh my God, was that funny as hell.
Yeah, whenever I got sick and I had to stay home from school, which didn't happen very often, there were two things I'd watch during the times that I was awake. And one was The Price is Right and Hollywood Squares. And they're just, you know, Hollywood Squares, man, even in the later years, like, they had, like, Whoopi Goldberg on there. They had all these wonderful personalities, and they would just riff off of each other. And you'd be sitting there just uncontrollable laughter at some points.
Yep. If you want to if you want to find out how old somebody is, try to remember and repeat this phrase. The phrase is, I'd like George Gobel for the 5 square win, please. And see what happens.
Or how about this?
I'll take his brother Joseph.
Does anybody remember the Gong Show?
Oh, yes! I love the Gong Show.
Soul Train.
I wish my George was here.
I actually remember Weird Al Yankovic making a cameo on the Gong Show and him diving over the console to grab one of the mallets and threw it at the gong and just dove it. Boom, across the room. I was like, holy shit. That guy's crazy. And that was before I heard his music, so I had no idea that he was basically a comedian.
You can still see the Gong Show on YouTube. There's a number of episodes up there. I've actually recently been watching.
Okay, I'll be back later, folks. Have a great night. See you later. Bye.
I totally remember the Gong Show when it was so funny. Gene, the dancing machine.
Oh, God. We lost Gene not too very long ago.
No, a couple of years back.
No, Joseph. It was just like a month or two ago.
No, really? Wow.
I don't think it. No, yeah. I don't think it was that recent. But it was. Within the...
Yeah, it was really recent because I had been watching the show maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and he died since then.
Okay.
We will turn to the Google and confirm.
We will go ahead and do that. Comments that are coming through on the Q&A, by the way. Beth, who is saying that she remembers watching the moon landing on the black and white TV. Yes, kids, there were times when you could buy a black and white TV because that's what you could afford.
That's what I grew up with.
Yep.
And
six channels.
Yep. She continues, I couldn't give you details as I was only five, but I do remember sitting with my family watching. That was an amazing moment in history. The number of people that were watching around the world for this, no matter where they were, was positively staggering. I can't think of a time I can't think of a time where we as a human race, as the human species, were brought together in a peaceful endeavor like that was.
Single most watched televised moment in history. And you know what? I bet the silence are still biting and kicking themselves in the ass for that one. Yeah, you know the reference. I'm gonna shut up now.
That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, there were a lot of moments that happened over the intervening years from the late 60s. Some of them were good. Some of them were absolutely horrific. If you listen to "We Didn't Start the Fire" from Billy Joel, as much of a trope as it might be to just squeeze all these headlines into the song, if you deconstruct it and really take each of those headlines, it's amazing the stuff that has happened over and over and over again.
Yeah.
There were some things that were really, really great. The moon landing was one of those great ones. The Kent State shooting was not. And there's a good amount of the people who will be watching who have no idea about Kent State. Short version, peaceful protesters were fired on and shouldn't have been. I don't remember what the final tally was as far as to why it happened. The best of my recollection, I believe somebody just kind of panicked and squeezed a little bit too hard on a trigger, and it just erupted from there. And dead college students, wounded people, and an incredible rift in the social consciousness of the United States, minimally. And I'm pretty sure it was felt pretty well around the world when the word got out. Now there were some good things that happened in the 70s and the 80s that you don't have today. And Bridget, I'm gonna focus on you for a second because I want to watch your face. Go ahead and smile when I give you two words. Game rooms. you can turn on your microphone anytime you want here, hon, because I want to hear this. Look at you. I've got to turn it on myself otherwise.
Oh my goodness, arcades and tokens.
Oh, and hell of tokens. Quarters, man.
And Pong.
There's Pong.
Pong was awesome.
I used to cut school to go to video arcades.
Yep.
Yeah, we used to go to this place called Barrel of Fun, and it was, I mean, I would spend hours in there.
We still had
Galaga and Millipede and Asteroids.
We still had arcades in my youth as well, I remember. going to them a couple times.
We actually had a convenience store directly across the street from us that had video games. So because I knew the kids whose parents owned the store, I got to play Pac-Man for free.
Nice. Well, I grew up on pinball machines, if anybody remembers those.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And now I have to admit to my eternal shame that, well, earlier this week, I went out and watched Pixels.
My son and I watched Pixels.
Adam, I'm sorry, but your formula is getting a little aged. It was a good movie. I laughed. I did at certain parts. But
I had a lot of explaining to do to my son.
That ending, though. That
Oh, dude, the ending, it was a trip. I was in stitches. I was in stitches, and my son's like, "What's so funny, Daddy?" And I was like, "I'll explain it to you in the car."
Yeah.
Does anybody remember pull tabs on, like, pop cans and beer cans?
Yeah.
And making chains out of them.
Yep.
Now, here's a piece that it's going to make people kind of rage quit on us, and I know it.
Uh-oh.
When that 70s show first came on, some of you have seen it, some of you don't know about it. That 70s show, the very first episode, I had an absolute geek rage moment when the dad grabs himself a beer in an aluminum can, and he goes and he lifts the tab and pushes it back down again because it was the new design tab. It was completely wrong because those weren't really introduced yet. You had the ones where you had to lift the little ring and possibly rip your fingernail off and pull the whole damn thing off so that you could drink out of it. I fucking raged all over it. Yes, I know I said a bad word, but you know what? That's how bad it was for me.
The pushing it in is not accurate.
See, we didn't get in the 70s beer. Well, at least my father never bought beer in a can. It was a stubby bottle.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a picture on my vanilla Facebook of me sitting on my father's lap, and I'm about 4, and I'm very happily holding a stubby of Labatt Blue in my hand. Yep. Oh, and by the way, Gene the Dancing Machine died on March 9th of this year.
It was this year. Wow.
Yeah. So 4 months. I was a couple months off.
Okay. And, Beth has gone ahead and done a little bit of her looking up. Kent State, 1970, 4 killed, 9 wounded, and apparently, according to what she's got, parts of the incident are still being adjudicated and protested even till today.
Wow.
Which is a long time later.
Yes.
40 years, man. For people to be arguing over what happened 40 years later, you know full well there was some serious, serious question marks as to what happened. I mean, that's not something that you just lay down with. But anyway, let's take a couple of items over here in the Q&A, because there's a bunch of items over here that are just wonderful. And all of you guys who are chiming in, oh my God, thank you so much. Renee, who is saying that she had a trash 80. My words, not hers. Let me read it as I should. Quote, I used to have a TRS-80 and remember registering for classes as the school formerly known as Memphis State University, and we had punch cards, 1985 and all that. Now, I'm calling it a Trash 80 because that was the nickname that was given to it at the time. The TRS-80, otherwise known as the Trash 80. I'm not speaking bad about it. I never heard of it myself, but that's what was nicknamed. For instance, there was also the Atom game computer, which was a console. You don't hear about it anymore because of one of the nicknames that it had for it, which was the Atom Bomb, because it really didn't sell worth a damn. Because you had the Atari 2600, you had Intellivision, you had ColecoVision, you had a couple of others. Mattel, I think, had No, Mattel was in television. That's right. And you either had an Atari or you had Intellivision.
I had an Atari.
And there the twain shall meet.
But the original Zork and Text is on a TRS-80.
Okay, I remember. I remember I played that on the Commodore 64, but that's fine.
Zork was my first foray into RPGs.
We never used the console at our house. We had a Commodore 64, so we played all our games on the Commodore.
Yep. The Commodore 64, yeah, those were the days. You see, there's another reference for you right there. So to kind of go along with that, something that
I used to love that show.
Oh yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. To complete that one, then, that is Sanford and Son, and the name of that song is "The Street Sweeper," written and produced by Quincy Jones. Why do I know that? Because I'm a freaking god when it comes to being a DJ. Screw y'all.
No. I think you're confusing that three-letter word with another four-letter word. Sounds like sick. Rhymes with stick.
Screwball. Yes, I understand. All right, so for those of you that were a Commodore 64 person or even a Commodore PET user...
Or 128.
Or 128, you would recognize what this is. And yes, those of you that are listening in, yes, you can't exactly hear it, but yes, I actually have an audio cassette. This was your data capture system. Now,
unless you were a kid, in which case it was your fishing line.
We would never do that. That would be wrong. But the point of it is, as a matter of fact, I've got a crap ton of these. Seriously, when I was on college radio with my good buddy Dr. Bill on his shows, I recorded a lot of them because we had a freaking blast, and I've got a wall of these, and I'm sorry, I miss Dr. Bill a lot. I couldn't even tell you how many years it's been now. It's been 7 years, maybe. We lost him to leukemia. He was a couple of months younger than me. And, I credit him for getting me on radio, crappy radio that it might have been, but radio nonetheless. We pissed off people in Canada because of where the radio station was during the summer. The signal would actually bounce across the lake into Ontario, and people would call the radio station saying, "Turn down your power. You're blowing out the station from Toronto that I listen to." And we were just like, you know what? We got a piddly ass 200 watts or whatever the hell it is. You know what? We're blowing out Toronto. You know what? Kiss my ass. But audio cassette was the way to go. If you watched Guardians of the Galaxy, you would have seen Star-Lord had his Walkman.
And there were a lot of kids who were confused by that.
Yeah. It was all audio tape. Same as what I got over here. And that was the rule of the roost, man. Audio cassettes replaced 8-track, and vast majority of you are not going to have any clue on what 8-track is, and good on you for that.
Yes, I remember. 8-track,
that's how I learned who Elvis was, because Daddy had an 8-track in the pickup truck that he played Elvis on.
And Charlie Rich and Charlie Pride. And...
No, my host.
It ain't got no CD player. It only got the 8-track. Whoever is in my car can go lick mice.
There you go. Tank. Now, sure. Yeah, we'll go with that. Now, audio CDs didn't hit until 1980. And when that hit, that was an amazing, amazing difference in stuff. And that was Sony that did that again. The computers that were using CD drives were far and away different from what you've got now. I mean, hugely, vastly different. With the computers of the day, you had the main motherboard, like kind of like what you got now, larger, of course. Mm-hmm. But they had basically nothing to them. They had the processor, they had the memory, and they had the connections for the disk drives, floppy drive, and hard drive, and that was pretty much it.
All in those huge SCSI plugs.
Well, at the time, you could get SCSI, but that was usually as an afterthought. On the PC market, the IBM-compatible systems, you were using, MFJ was the first ones that I remember, which were really, really stupid connections. And then came the what we now would think of as PATA, the parallel ATA, or the... It was quite a different time. You had to try to figure out what kind of memory was supposed to fit into your computer amongst the 1,400 different styles that were available for you. But you had to get a controller board for everything that it did. You had a video board, and you had to have that installed. And if you wanted sound, you had to buy a separate audio card for that. And then if you wanted to telecommute, you know, you needed to get a card that was a modem or get an external one. And then if you wanted a CD drive, well, now you have to take out your old audio card because you needed a new one that had a separate hard drive controller for the CD drive.
Jeez.
And then you had to reconfigure everything in order to do that with little switches up on the top to instruct the computer, look for it under this address. And it was kind of hit or miss whether or not it would actually find it, because sometimes you didn't know if you had the right setting because you had no way of checking unless you knew the Voodoo.
Mac addresses.
Yep. DIP switches. That was the way to go, man. Putting together a computer in the day was vastly more difficult. But, things change. Things improve. We lost the Commodore Amiga, unfortunately. Damn it. But I'm not bitter. It's perfectly fine. I'm not bitter. Freaking so, Gateway.
Actually am on my old Commodore 64 because back in those days, we would trade games because you could just put, like, a floppy disk could hold anywhere from 1 to 6 games on it, depending on what you were playing. So we used to, like, trade games. And my boyfriend at the time, I don't know where the hell he got it from, but I had a game on my Commodore 64 called Sex Games. And it was, there were 5 levels. And the idea was the first level was a couple just doing missionary.
No, please, no. No. having seen Custer's Last Ride, no.
You
know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry for bringing it up.
It's Custer's Revenge, but that's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
But no, like, of course, you had a joystick back then, because, you know...
I have a joystick now! It doesn't mean I play with it that often.
You know what, everybody? Good night, everybody. That's it. That's our show. We're going to be...
Good night.
Okay, so what did I miss?
Okay, first the Earth killed, and then dinosaurs came. They got too big and fat. They died. They turned into oil. How long have you been gone?
I know where that reference is from, too.
I've been gone since 12:49, so 10 minutes.
Look, I've had a joystick since 1986. It's a first-person shooter.
Wait, you were born in 1986?
Men are born with one.
No. I'm just asking. He was born in 1986. I'm officially not the youngest person.
That's what I was saying earlier. You.
You weren't paying attention.
And Joe,
sorry, what?
Pretending to be the oldest. If you graduated from high school in 87, that would put us about the same age.
I graduated in 85.
Yeah. I was born December 1970, so...
Look, I was born the same year that Challenger decided to go up and then decided to go every which way.
Hey, yeah, Challenger didn't decide to blow up. It was the idiots who left it out overnight in the bloody extreme bloody temperature changes.
Mm-hmm.
And a special thank you out to a very special... person who figured that out.
Yep.
And if you haven't figured out who I'm talking about, you need to get more involved in science.
Yep. Close warm personal friend of the show, Mr. Feynman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Beth is also chiming in over here and is reminding us about 5 1/4 inch double discs to run software off of. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you that don't know, yes, floppy disks.
Yep, you flip them over and run the other side, yep.
I still have my original copy of the first King's Quest on 5 1/4 inch floppy.
Can't run it on anything, but...
Sex Games was on a floppy, at least when you started. Well,
at least
Sujin,
when you started.
Sujin, I future-proofed myself for that game. When 3 1/2 inch floppy came out, I copied it over to that, and it still ran fine on DOS. And then when CDs started gaining popularity, I copied it over to CD along with an emulator to simulate the processor speed limited environment. So I can still play it.
Very cool. So let's see. What else is over here in the Q&A? Because there's stuff over here. Oh, Katie was asking, and by the way, hi, Katie. Wasn't there an Omega computer for a little while? Not by that name. The word that you're looking for is Amiga. And yes, that was made by Commodore. The Amiga computers were incredibly sophisticated for the time. They were amazing pieces of machinery. And one of their big claim to fame was an add-on board that you could get from a company called Newtek. And it was called the Video Toaster. If you want to see what the Video Toaster could do, look at the very first episode of Babylon 5. All of the CG was done on the Video Toaster. It was an amazing beast. Unfortunately, Commodore screwed itself over. If Commodore had continued to survive and thrive and do technological work on it, I have no doubt that we would have Amiga still as a viable computing platform today.
I have to disagree with you because Amiga is still a viable platform because back in middle of July, Wired came out with an article. Commodore is making a smartphone with the Amiga operating system.
Oh, wow.
You want to talk about pretty damn cool? That's pretty damn cool.
I would be very interested to read that. Because best I've known, Commodore as a name, Commodore as a company doesn't exist, but...
Well, the Commodore company got sold several times over. I have the article link. I'm going to throw it up in chat for you.
Okay,
so you can post it in show notes. But they're calling it the Commodore PET, P-E-T, all capital letters.
Oh, God.
Look, we can go on with all the wonderful things from the 80s.
Hair was not one of them.
No, but Cabbage Patch and Garbage Pail Kids were.
Oh, I love Garbage Pail Kids. That's awesome.
Except for the movie.
I got my Cabbage Patch Kid the year that, you know, mothers were beating each other senseless over
then
them.
Then you have the glow worm. You had the L.A. Gears and the Pumpets, the shoes. You had the light-up shoes, and then you had the pumpet.
I remember the pumpet ones.
I remember in junior high, all the cool kids had the pump shoes, and it was really funny because they'd get real into it right before gym, and damn if somebody didn't always blow out a shoe. You'd hear pop.
Does anybody remember Vans? The checkerboard shoes?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, yeah, see, as a headbanger, I wore Chucks.
You wore Chucks? I wore Jazz Oxfords, but in skinny ties. I remember
one thing of much, much pain. Hey there, kids, come gather around. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No idea. And I'm not even screwing around. I have no idea.
Skip it. Break your ankle just like that.
No idea. How about those wonderful toys where you sat on a plank of wood that had four rotating wheels on them? They had little caster wheels on them. And the idea was is you grip the side and you'd spin around in your driveway, assuming you didn't cut off your fingers in the process.
Oh, jeez. No, I don't remember that.
Or my personal favorite that got recalled, that I still have my set of, lawn darts.
I was going to say,
lawn darts.
Oh, God, no.
Yep,
we had lawn darts.
I just got reminded of something else, almost as dangerous. Pogo ball.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Oh.
And then, of course, the most creepy thing ever, Teddy Ruxpin. Which brings us to the segment, 8 Things You Never Want to Hear Teddy Ruxpin Say.
Not in the closet again. Please, no, not the closet.
Okay, number 7. Number 7. I'm your new best friend.
Yeah.
The batteries wore out.
See, I always thought that the stupid Furby was creepier than Teddy Ruxpin.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As somebody whose nickname is Tribble, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Furbies
thank
are you. Still my favorite target
raid. Furbies were cool, though. Don't you even. No. I still have one. Don't you
no.
even.
They
no.
were.
Oh, wait. I got no. you a bee.
They were the spawn bee. Of hell.
No, you want to no. know the cool toys? Freaking troll dolls. The old plastic crow with the long ass hair. Who didn't at least once take a pair of scissors to those to try to be your own hairstylist?
I did to my Cher doll.
I did it to my Gem and the Holograms doll.
Which okay. To prove that what's old is new again, yes, there is a Gem and the Holograms movie that is coming out.
Let's not.
I know.
That's okay. There's a second Blade Runner coming out. They're going to start filming it in the spring or summer of 2016.
Girls had Gem. Us boys had G.I. Joe, Thundercats, and He-Man and Transformers.
I had Toilet's Angels dolls.
I had an evil Knievel on the motorcycle that you wind up
with. I had one of those too.
Yep. I still have my Rock Lords.
Your what?
I still have my Rock Lords.
What the hell is a Rock Lord?
Okay, you remember Transformers?
Yeah.
Okay, one particular episode of Transformers, they went and visited another planet. The planet had these kind of bugs or parasites on them that could attach to a robotic entity and siphon the energy from them. Well, there was this planet had a robotic life form that evolved to have a rock exterior shell to protect them from these parasites. So when they transformed, they literally transformed into different types of rocks. There was a little guy who was ultra powerful, but he could barely ever get his master power under control. He was called Nugget, and he was a little gold nugget. The leader of the good guys was named Boulder, so when he transferred, he became this big boulder. There was one called Granite, literally
really
made you know, his exterior.
Hard.
But the thing is that they were actually a lot of fun to play with. Because you'd turn them into their rock forms, and you'd throw them at each other!
Hold on.
Boys play with their rocks, that's hardly anything new.
Stop right here. I'm going to prove to you that this idea stemmed from the 70s, from one of the absolute worst toy.
Yes.
Don't lead the bit. One of the worst concepts for a toy, but one of the most profitable. Heretic Woman, I know that you know what it is. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Pat Rock, baby.
Dude, they've upgraded the Pet Rock. You can now get the Pet Rock with the USB cable to plug it into your computer.
Wait, yes, wait, wait. Yes. Don't forget. Don't forget. Chia.
Chia.
No. We're not. No, we're not moving past the Pet Rock yet because there is another one. There is another piece. When the first Superman movie came out, there was not just the Pet Rocks in the stores, but there was the Kryptonite Rocks. They took the Pet Rocks and they spray painted them with luminescent paint so you could hold it underneath the little light and then put it into darkness, and all of a sudden, ooh, it would glow. And you spent money on this stuff because we were sheep. Yes. Yes, we were.
Mood rings were fun, too.
Legos. The Lego came out in the 80s with an insert, a little pamphlet that they stuck in most of their box sets. And it showed a little girl playing with Legos. And it basically advocated the fact that Legos are a unisex toy. You have girls who want to grow up to be scientists and engineers and boys who want to do other things. And it's okay because it encourages creativity, and they were one of the first companies to do something like that, especially in a time where there were heavy gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you gotta recognize Lego at that time, and the step that they took that was somewhat monumental. I mean, if you go on any of the Lego boards on Reddit, you'll still find people reposting that picture of that pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Katie has gone ahead and made us remember. Am I the only one that remembers the Midnight Special? I am not at all familiar with this one.
I remember that. There was a DJ. They used to come on at midnight, and there was a DJ called Wolfman Jack who used to host it.
And that was the Midnight Special?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, now that kind of ties into what
was 70s, though.
That's okay.
That ties into what I think was the best children's show in Canada ever, which was the hilarious House of Frightenstein. And it had a wolfman who was the DJ on the show, but he was like an actual werewolf.
You want to talk about TV shows? Fine.
USA.
Sorry, it doesn't top Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, that was creepy.
Remember when they did the interview with the Crypt Keeper for Halloween?
Yeah, but
he knows what I'm talking about. He knows. He knows.
I've got all the Crypt Keeper sound bites for my show. I only use them on Halloween, but...
Well, those came out around the same year that Heavy Metal did, the cartoon. Movie?
Oh, Heavy Metal, the anime, was fantastic. When I have it remastered on DVD.
Kind of surprising considering the magazine.
Oh, no.
It's the movie.
Okay. All right. Well, no, wait a second. Let's back up for just a couple of seconds because this is something I want to hit. Wolfman Jack. For those that don't recognize the name, Wolfman Jack was a DJ, and I could probably make an argument that he was the first nationally known radio DJ. If memory serves, he had a nationwide, possibly even internationally heard radio show when he was doing in the mid 70s.
Around the time that George Klein did.
Yeah.
Or do you not remember George Klein?
I do not.
You're going to have to Google. He was from Memphis, but he was also nationally famous as a DJ.
Yeah. Wolfman Jack had this great, deep, gravelly voice. He would come on and he would be doing this, "Ow!" and the whole thing like this.
Yeah, it's the Wolfman here. Coming down to you from Cleveland 905.
Yep.
He had an incredibly distinctive style and voice all his own. He was, as somebody who enjoys the art of doing on-air DJing, he was a joy to listen to. He always sounded so much fun. His smile was infectious, and you could hear it in everything that he talked through, no matter what it was. If he was, he did the narration. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Saturday morning cartoons. I know I'm kind of taking a little bit of a sidestep for a second, but there was a Fonzie and the Happy Days Gang cartoon series. Mm-hmm. And
no,
it was really bad. It was really bad series. But
no, thank you. I'll stick with the Electric Company. Thank you.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Don't get ahead of me on that one either. We're gonna come back to that. Don't forget. Wolfman Jack did the narration for the intro. And even for a really, really bad cartoon series, you could hear him smiling the entire time that he's reading over the intro. I mean, he had one of those most amazing of voices. He was just a joy to listen to. He's somebody I really kind of aspire to when I do my DJing, you know, just wanting to have that come across. And I guess that's why I wanted to hit the Electric Company. They remade it.
Yeah,
poor Joey is just wanting to gag all over the place.
Yeah, look, I'm tired of the remakes. I really am. I'm tired of the remakes. The only thing I want to see remade is Reading Rainbow, and that's it.
I love Reading Rainbow.
Or not even remade. I want it brought back.
Yeah. With updated book lists.
Maybe Alf.
No. No. We can't bring Alf back because he's already been taken apart by the U.S. government and military and everything. And
well, yeah. Alf 2. Alf comes back for vengeance.
And he's got
that's the whole gritty spin that Hollywood likes to put on movies now, right?
Yeah, and he'll have his entire sternum has got a scar on it from where they opened him up, right?
And he's got, like, you know, Terminator eye and just...
I tell you, you know who I miss from my childhood? I really miss the guy. Casey Kasem.
Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Why did you have to bring that up?
Because I remember when I lived in New York, I could listen to the radio station because Susan went to knows where SUNY is, so I could actually listen to the radio station 99.1 FM WAAL, the Whale, with Casey Kasem on the air doing his history behind the rock songs and the impact that it had on society. I mean, he didn't just introduce a song; he told you about the effects that it had when the song came out. He really gave you some knowledge, something that you could, you know, make the song even more powerful. And he was one of the few that did things like that. He had his own personal set of morals and ethics that he stood by to the end. He was like, no, I'm not advertising that product because that product is not family friendly. I do not believe in it. I am not going to do it. If you don't like it, you can find somebody else to do it. But that's where I stand. You know, he stood up for what he believed in. Whether he was right or wrong in the end, he did that. He was very strong in that respect, and I just respected him a lot for that, and I loved his radio show so much. So, you know, people, when they hear Casey Kasem, they think about towards the end with all the stuff with his family and the death and everything else. I don't. I revel in the memories of my childhood of listening to him on the radio and just loving every minute of it.
All right, so
thank you, Casey. We miss you, buddy.
Yeah. All right, so we got a lot of stuff that's over in the Q&A. So I want to go ahead and hit these really quickly because we're gonna.
Feels bad.
Wow, there's just so much stuff over in here.
I like Renee's right there at the top. Anyone remember when MTV actually played videos?
Yeah,
dude. Does anybody else remember the game show, the music video game show, Remote Control?
I remember it.
No, screw that. Double Dare.
No.
Oh yeah.
Double Dare.
Double Dare was Nickelodeon.
It was Nickelodeon.
Oh no. Oh, shit, what was it?
I don't know.
Some of us never had MTV, so.
That's true. That's true. MTV was done on the U.S. cable market. It might have been.
It's still 80s.
Yes. Like I said, I forget which cable service it was through at the time, but MTV was the, let's call it basically top 40 at the time, although they did have some specialized services and such at different times. VH1 was basically adult contemporary, whatever. Erotic Woman, for you, was there, what video service was there for you guys?
We had Much Music, which was out of Toronto. The same guy who started Global TV, so any Canadians out there will remember that. Beth probably remembers it too. And then in the 90s, they branched out to, like where you said, VH1 was adult contemporary. We had for that Much More Music. So much Music tried to be MTV. And again, it was only available on cable. And I didn't get cable. Well, and even then, you had to buy like the second package for it. So I never had Much Music until I was in university, and we didn't get any. I had never had cable with MTV until I was in my like mid 20s, and by then it wasn't much in the way of music videos by then. So I never really watched a lot of music videos. We had there was a weekly television show that did like the top 10 music videos, so you could, that was on regular TV, so we could see that. If you watched that, you could see whatever the top 10 was, but we never, like, I was actually, Boda has a 80s mix that he did on his YouTube channel, and I was watching that last week, and I was like, this is some really old stuff on there. And I'm going, holy shit, I didn't know that song had a video, because we never saw videos. So that's kind of cool to kind of rediscover that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beth is also saying, Renee, remember the first video they played, which I'm assuming would be MTV. That's, yeah.
I know what that is even.
Yeah. Yeah. The Buggles video killed the radio star. When it came time for the 1,000,000th video, they copped out and they just played it again. They had so much potential. You know what? Joseph, let me throw this one at you. Not the first video that somebody played, but how far back can you remember for video music? What one do you remember as far back as you can? First video music that you might have seen.
Oh, Video Killed the Radio Star. That was the first track ever played on MTV.
Yes, but for yourself, what do you remember as like the very first one that you can remember seeing?
I watched MTV from the start. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he must have. Well, he was in London, so that's an urban area. They probably had cable. I was out in the sticks on the farm, so we didn't get cable till like, I don't know, 85 or so.
Oh, I used to hang out with studio production people, so they had access to pretty well everything.
There you go. There you go.
That's why I have all the Betamax and I know about shit like that.
For me, the earliest music video I can remember actually watching. Somebody's going to throw something at me for this one.
Go for it.
Flash.
What's that?
A couple weeks
Savior
ago.
Savior of the Universe?
The Flash from Queen?
No.
It was a little old. It was a few years old at the time, but
it's Aaron
the first
Robb
one I remember watching.
Yeah, not related to music video, but Shujin, you probably remember this because it was actually out of Buffalo, I believe. But do you remember Uncle Bobby?
No, I did not live out here during, well, yeah. I did not move out here until 92. Yes, yeah. November of 92 is when I first moved up here. So most of that stuff I did not see.
He was a guy in Buffalo who did like a children's show, but it was weird. Like, it was really weird. And the thing that sticks out the most for me on that one, and you can still find it on YouTube because I looked it up several months ago, but every show, they like, it was the kind of thing where you could write in to the show, and if they picked you, they would read about you on the show and all that crap. So people would send in that it was so-and-so's birthday, right? So they did a bit on every show to celebrate kids' birthdays, and they had this really creepy wooden standee of a big clown, and when it was supposedly singing, its mouth would just go up and down, like really, and its eyes would roll back and forth. But the name of it was Bimbo the Birthday Clown. And it was Bimbo,
you're going to die, clown!
Oh, no.
Bimbo the Birthday Clown.
Of course it was.
All right, so Bozo!
Yeah. So yeah. Let's see. What else was thrown on over here? Let's see. Mr. Bill on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, no!
I remember sort of, but at the same time, it was kind of okay. Mm.
I remember on MTV, started in the like mid to late 80s, it was the Headbangers Ball, and it was on it late at night.
I remember
and
that.
Me being a headbanger, man, I just...
Fire school!
But again, you know, getting away from the whole music thing on them. Let's see, Katie got over here, the Sit and Spin. Yeah. Remember that.
You mean the vomit comet?
Oh, I remember that now. Yes.
That's the easiest way to throw up.
But see, now our playgrounds, we still had the merry-go-round on the playground, and that's how we used to make each other throw up. If we didn't fall off and get tangled up and killed, you know.
I was just remembering, I know we were trying to move away from the music, but I was just remembering Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, love them. Yeah. Love it.
Just remember, you know, be excellent to each other.
Okay, here's one that's been remade, and I've watched the remake going, that's not how they, no, that's wrong. And some of you guys may be agreeing with me on this one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Could have been. Heroes of the Half-Shell Turtle Power.
Yeah, and for those of you that are thinking that that was like the end-all, be-all when it became a cartoon in the 80s, you don't know the half of it. The original prints.
Everybody was into the Turtles. Girls, boys, adults, yes, pizza parlors.
I looked at the comics, and I was like, oh, that's dark.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. The original was all black and white line art. You couldn't tell who was who except to remember who had what weapons. And it was dark. Mm. Dude.
You think Batman gets gritty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they toned it down just so that they could, you know, make the buck off of it. But you know, whatever. All right. Let's see. Joshy was over there. Janie's Got a Gun. The first one that she remembered. And Video Killed the Radio Star. Yeah. Which, okay.
Max Headroom.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I love Max
and
Headroom.
The wizard and the power glove.
No, Max was awesome. In fact, I
touched my boobies.
And Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Whoever designed Duck Hunt.
Yep.
Duck Hunt.
All right, so let's go through some of these other memories really quickly.
Oh, don't forget Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I know somebody mentioned his playhouse.
Adventure and Risky Business. Risky Business was the best movie.
Casablanca came out in 83.
Gremlins.
Beth remembers Uncle Bobby. That's right, because she's from from Buffalo.
Before there were Furbies, there were Gremlins.
Gremlins.
My favorite Martian.
Okay.
It got real quiet.
Yeah. Try to place that one. Okay, so let's see. Big wheels. I had big wheels when I was a kid. I had it with my brothers. We destroyed those things like nobody's business.
There was a show
on television where they did cars and motorcycles and stuff, and they made a real motorcycle version of a big wheel.
Ow. Shujin, you know why I'm hurting right now.
No, actually, no, I don't.
You will. Because of something we talked about on the other show a couple weeks ago. The Golden Girls.
I don't remember the connection, but I'm sure you'll remind me later. I'm focused. Remember, I'm focused on what I'm doing right now. So I don't recall.
And also Married with Children.
Wow, that was awesome too.
Oh.
Okay, who here didn't watch MacGyver?
Me. Didn't watch it.
I had a huge crush on MacGyver.
My walls in my bedroom were covered with pictures of MacGyver, Sonny Crockett, and Glass Tiger. Joseph probably the only one who knows who Glass... Oh, no, actually, she will know who Glass Tiger is, yes.
I had a Trapper Keeper.
There you go. So let's see. What else was over here? Let's see. Beanie Baby. Yeah, those kept their value, didn't they?
Yeah. They're in the secondhand store in droves these days.
What, Beanie Babies?
Yep.
There was. By the way, at Anthrocon, there was somebody who had. For their fursuit, a giant oversized Beanie Baby heart badge kind of thing that they had clipped onto their ear, which was friggin' adorable as hell. Joey saw that, yeah.
Oh, I have to get to address something I saw over in the Q&A because it resonates with my inner nerd. Jess went to quote a couple of programs that I actually. Played with. I actually got to use Math Muncher, Word Muncher, and Oregon Trail. You have died of dysentery. Hell yeah.
Yep, there's all those. Yes, Joey.
Who remembers Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I do.
Never did I think that a movie could actually make me feel sorry for an ant.
Okay, don't recall that one. But I remember...
The special feature that it was included with the movie, the Roger Rabbit short, Tummy Trouble?
No, didn't see it.
No?
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, Heretic Woman. The show aired in the U.S., but the cast was predominantly Canadian. Kids in the Hall.
Oh, I love Kids in the Hall.
I love some Kids in the Hall. That was funny.
The chicken woman. Oh, my God.
This is my house. This is where I had my first date. What are you doing? Lift me out of here.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And when she's riding on the rocking horse outside the grocery store, and the little kid's standing there, and the feathers everywhere.
I'm crashing her head.
You know what I hate?
Nobody's home.
Some of you are listening to this all right now, and you're going, what the hell is that? Just look up the stuff. Trust me.
And there are other people listening who are cracking up right along with us because they can see the whole skit in their head.
You know what makes me hurt most?
Mm-hmm.
We are now further in the future. There's more distance between us and when the movie was released and, the modern setting of the movie was set, then when Back to the Future went back into the past.
Would you care to rephrase that in a way that actually doesn't hurt my brain and makes me understand what the hell you're talking about?
Marty McFly, yeah, in the 80s, went back to the 60s, yes?
50s.
So it's still 30 years. We'll say give or take. 30 right. years. Back in the Future was in the 80s. We're almost 40 years for when Back to the Future was released.
Yes.
And yet we still don't have the double ties to go on our ship.
Or the flying surfboards.
Yes. Yeah. Although
we heard you like nostalgia, so we put nostalgia in your nostalgic movie so you can be nostalgic while feeling nostalgic.
Go watch an episode of Cheers. I grew up an hour and a half from one of their several filming locations.
Damn you.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I can't get that song out of my head.
Let's go with the rest of them over here. Okay, I'm gonna have to clear some of these out. Wolfman Jack, we're gonna cover
no.
that. The Pet Rock. Renee had the Pet Rock. Good on you. You had the one that Darwin liked because it had the googly eyes. Good on you. Prince Planet and Ultraman. Okay, Ultraman I remember was an import from Japan. Prince Planet. Anybody?
No.
Okay, that's all right. Beth, you're old, and we don't know, so tough. Moving on. Let's see. Ranger Mini 8. Mm-hmm. Ranger Mini 8 in my car. What was that? Anybody?
8-track tape, I think.
Now I'm remembering Prince of Space.
That would be my guess. It's probably some kind of like smaller size 8-track.
It was a tape deck player.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, moving on from there. Let's see. Mullets. Oh, God damn it, Renee. Really? Really?
My mother gave me a mullet until ninth grade. I'm growing it out.
Okay, I'm going to give a shout out to Andy Kaufman. Thank you very much. Taxi.
It's a good point. That was a very, very good point. All right, yeah, let's hit a couple of these TV shows before we get done. There were some that were amazing that even though they look dated, they are still immensely funny even till today. Taxi is one of them. Cheers. I haven't rewatched any of Cheers in a long, long time. I'm pretty sure the vast majority of that still holds up, even all these years later. Most of the stuff that I'm going to remember is the stuff that was over here, and we flooded the market all over the place, and I know it full well. I think arguably one of the best TV shows to come out of the 70s and into the 80s. I've got two that are so incredibly high on my list. I don't know that I can pick either one of them in this particular case, so I'll throw them both out there, and we'll see what you guys think were some of the best from the 70s and 80s. MASH and All in the Family.
Yes. I have probably seen every MASH episode at least twice. And some of them seven or eight times. And now, Shujin probably knows this, but did you guys know that what the title of the theme song is, and yep. B, that there are yep. actually...
And the lyrics, and the lyrics, and the fact that that's why they didn't include the lyrics in the theme song.
Yes.
For those of you who are scratching your heads, the name of the song is "Suicide Is Painless."
Yes.
It brings on many changes.
And I can take or leave it if I please.
If you're not sure about it, MASH is one of those ones where it was a movie first. I have not seen the movie myself. But as I've understood good portions of the plot, the song "Suicide Is Painless," which became the theme, it's kind of dark, but it is also kind of uplifting to realize that you can take somebody who's in a really, really dark place and walk them all the way through it so that they come out the other end and theoretically a better person. If it's kind of cryptic, I know. I'm sorry. It's, as I understand it, it's actually worth a watch. So keep it from there. Joseph, you've been incredibly quiet this time out. And I know it's probably because we're plowing through everything. How about for you? Through the 70s and 80s, I know that it's been a long time since you had a real TV and watched, but come on, going back to the 70s and 80s, for you.
Yeah, the memories from that period are pretty painful for me, actually. So I don't have much to contribute there. Yeah, I did follow everything, and well, the technological developments and everything, but as far as nostalgia goes, yeah, at the time, I kind of rebelled against that. I was punk. I had a mohawk. So
nice.
Yeah.
No,
so I went into I was in the polar opposite direction to all that.
That's all right.
Sorry.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just thinking of how to best word this. I want to say it in such a way that will properly get the intent across without being patronizing. Sid Vicious, fuck you.
Yeah, he was a figurehead. He didn't even record in any of the albums. It was the guitarist who recorded almost all of Nevermind the Bollocks.
Yeah, and I'm saying that as in all seriousness. I mean, Sid Vicious was the epitome of the punk kid. And I don't mean from a musical standpoint. He was a punk kid. He went on for a couple of interviews and whatnot, and I forget which one it was he was on with that I saw. He was just a punk-ass kid. He didn't care for nobody or nothing, and that's the way he liked it. And you know what? As far as I was concerned, piss off.
Don't misconceive punk, because punk is an attitude. It's kind of like taking somebody else's presumptions and affirmations, like without evidence, and just throwing it back at them. But he was like gratuitously a punk, which means he had, you know, his attitude was just, he could be like that because he could. That's all.
Oh, let's call a spade a spade, all right? He was an asshole. He really was.
For me, actually, one of the most memorable videos from that period was, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, and they did a version of the Anarchy in the UK in French. It's just, that was amazing. It was in the streets of Paris, completely impromptu, and he would like go into a French bakery.
Oh, Joseph, Dave Hall wants to know what color your mohawk was.
Natural color.
Natural.
And I wouldn't wear it up, I would wear it over on the side.
So it was a limp mohawk.
Yeah. I'd only put it up for special occasions, and that took like two tubes of toothpaste to get it to stay up there.
Oh, good grief.
Wait.
Well, it's been a master to wash it.
Yeah.
Well, then he always smelled minty fresh.
Yep.
Sure, we'll go with that. You know what? That's another good one. All right, I'll come back to that in a second. Renee, Dirty Dancing, Patrick Swayze. Nice. Good call on that one. Some people don't recognize, though, after having watched it, one of the subplots to Dirty Dancing, or actually the main plot, abortion.
Abortion. Yep.
Yep. Bad abortion.
Backwater coat hanger abortion, to be exact.
With you know, Family Guy picking up with, you know, Prom Night Dumpster Baby. That was a great song.
Yeah, there you go. Unrenowned Tech's got the great graphic right there. Gag Me with a Spoon. Yep, the whole Valley thing.
Yep. Like Grody Man.
like totally gag me with the Eiffel Tower.
Like, oh my god.
Yep, and the spoon back in the 70s, well, the late 70s, early 80s, the spoons were also making references to cocaine, freebasing, yes, heroin. So not always such a great thing, but you know, that was there.
Ready.
The big rise of the slasher flicks. Yeah, that's.
Yep.
Which I have to say, Cabin in the Woods, you tricked me. One, I'll give you that. And two, really nice work.
No idea myself, but it's okay.
If you
I actually got to meet Robert Englund.
Oh, nice.
And I shook his hand. I was in line. You could pay to get like a photograph with the guy and everything else. And I went into line. I didn't buy the photograph because I just wanted to walk up to him and shake his hand and thank him. And I got the chance to, and he said, "Thank you for what?" And I said, "Well, I've never had nightmares in my life until I saw the Freddy Krueger, the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And I cherished every single one of those nightmares, and I wanted to thank you for that." And he kind of looked at me and said, "Did you bring a camera?" And I said, "Well, my phone can take pictures." He's like, "You have a friend with you?" And my friend was standing next to me. He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Good, sit down. She's going to take a picture, and you're going to like it." Okay. And he was just such a nice guy. He really is such a nice guy if you treat him like a human being.
Yeah. Let's talk on that one for just a couple of moments, even though we're getting kind of late into it, but that's okay. I had an experience where I went to a sci-fi convention in New York City. This would have put it at about 1990, I believe. Should have been about that. Deep Space Nine, if I remember right, had been a recent development. At least I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And it was at the Penta Hotel across the street from Penn Station. And I was there with a couple of friends of mine. We had been walking around a little bit, and we ended up bumping into Armin Zimmerman, I believe was his name, the gentleman who played Quark on Deep Space Nine, and was also another Ferengi in one of the early episodes of Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
And we got to just chatting with him, you know, in the middle of the floor, and he was just wandering around, and we got to talking with him for a little bit. I don't, you know, this is going back a long time. I don't even remember what we were talking about. What I remember very vividly was saying with him, "Well, you know, we were going to go outside to go get something to eat. You wouldn't want to come and join us, would you?" And he almost did.
Oh, wow.
Except that some larger woman came over. "Oh, it's you. Oh, my cousin who's the third one on my father's side, who is the roommate in college with this other one. Worked on the special effects and the makeup and the whole thing with that. Do you remember? Yeah, he was a great guy to work. I got to get set up for another panel in a little bit. I'll talk to you guys later." Don't be that guy. Don't ever be that guy. People who you get to meet who are famous like that, they just want to be regular individuals. The only difference between their job and yours is lots and lots and lots of people get to see them. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, I think the only celebrity that I would actually squee over, or fanboy, so to speak, would be Weird Al Yankovic. And I am such a big fan of his works. And, you know, he's still got it. He's still rocking it. And, you know, the books that he wrote for the children's books that he wrote recently, my son loved. And he's just in every single way, you know, he made a positive impact on my life, made a positive impact on life of my son. I mean, just I just absolutely love the guy. And I might actually have trouble saying something other than hi to the guy.
You know what? This is a great angle to wrap us all together with, because that's great. I don't know if you want to make that your closer on this one, Tech. What I want to close us on with is, who do we think about now that has survived all this time from the 70s and or 80s up to now that we think is still worthwhile? I mean, obviously Al is huge.
You know, all this mainstream stuff, for me, what's lasted is the guys who started the whole movement, like the electronic music movement and all that, because the 1980s it overwhelmed it. I mean, it just buried it in crap. I mean, like groups like Kraftwerk,
yep,
and Gary Numan.
Yep.
And we see influence from them in like music even today, but their influence tended to get buried under all the like Cyndi Lauper and shit like that.
Hey, yeah. I like Cyndi.
Yeah, Brian Eno. Mm-hmm. Hello, Canadian.
Yeah. Before I let you get away with that one though, let me throw a name at you from the electronica side that I'd love to get your piece on it. Thomas Dolby.
Yeah, blinded me with science. God.
But he has since done interviews and whatnot for NPR a couple of years ago, and he said that, you know, what he cost him a couple hundred thousand dollars back in the 80s with the technology that was available then, you can just do with a free app on your phone now that costs you maybe $200.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing that is by comparison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why these guys were pioneers. I mean, you absolutely had to have funding to do anything successful at the time. That didn't sound like MIDI or whatever.
Yeah, and MIDI is something that we didn't touch on, and unfortunately, we're not going to. If you want to look it up for yourself, MIDI. Look it up on the Wikipedia page. Seriously, it's
still
incredible.
A protocol.
Yes.
Just look up MySpace.
Oh, jeez. No, you mean GeoCities.
Really?
We're going to go to the internet.
We're really going to go to Angel Fire at this point? Is that really what we're going to do?
Oh, come on. At least I had a little class.
Yes, yeah, very little.
Yeah. Rock
and anyway, and for to make sure that you're up on this one, Joseph, Thomas Dolby has not been idle since those 80 days. He
but
has
none
been
of
working
you guys,
on
your Quincy Jones example was perfect because like because I've got his original works album. I've got a few of them, and like he was the guy behind Michael Jackson. But who knows that today? I mean, he made Michael Jackson.
There's that. He was amazingly influential and still working until today. What I was going to say though was, Thomas Dolby, after he decided that he was going to kind of get out of the limelight of music, shall we say, he started working into the production and such. And till today, he's been working on making phones sound better and better every day today. So he's been working in the backdrop, shall we say, of it all.
Yeah, in the background, yeah.
So, you know, it's...
These are the people to be most respected, the people who actually took the new technology places. And it was just... it was the record labels that ran with their work. They didn't invent anything by themselves. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Bridget, let me throw it your way. Who or what do you think has survived properly from the 70s and 80s thrill to today? I mean, 40-year spans of stuff is just amazing that anybody has done it. So what do you think has survived the test of time of it all?
Compact discs. We still use them. Goodness, that's a tough one.
And you know what? That's not such a bad thing. That was a true transformative technology. recording information in a format that was not electronic directly itself for the first time commercially. That was friggin' amazing.
I didn't, you have to remind me, what was compact disc?
CD.
That's the CD. That's a CD, okay. I thought it was those 1.4 mega...
The hard disks. Or the floppy.
Well, they called them floppy disks, but they weren't floppy, were they? I had original floppy disks.
Well, this was a compact disk, and I would have to say cordless phones. We still use them.
Yeah, I laughed at my Russian friend who had one of the first. He was so proud of it that he kept it like 10 years after it was obsolete. It was one of those portable phones that normally should be in a car,
mm-hmm.
but it came with his own battery that you have to carry. And the phone was huge. He was using this until like 1995.
Yeah, the bag phones. If you want to see which ones we're talking about, I believe, oh God, I forgot which movie it was I was thinking of with Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas, probably.
Right. Yeah. If you look back to the late 80s, I mean, compact discs are unchanged.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't changed since...
At all.
Nope.
Yeah, and it's a very viable format for audio, minimally. There have been a couple of modifications that have been done, that have been tried out for adding additional tracks of digital movies and data. But the compact disc format really hasn't changed since 1980. Really.
I've got a David Bowie collector set, what they called it anyways, of four CDs, and it's from a time they tried the first video format on CD. And the video tracks on there, I can't read with anything today. I can't extract them or recompile them or anything. I've never seen those videos, but they're on there, and it's really annoying.
Hold on. I'm about to get something that survived the 80s, so just bear with me.
Okay, you do that. Heretic Woman, how about for you? What do you feel has survived properly all this time?
There's actually some elements of fashion that keep cropping back that I really love. Like I was saying, like, this, I just bought this summer, but this is totally typical of the kind of hat that I would have worn in the 80s anyway. And I've always liked that. But as far as, like, arts goes, you'd mentioned MASH before, and honestly, that show is incredibly timeless, and the moral stories in that show are still applicable today in a lot of situations.
You guys had to bring that one up.
Sorry.
All I'm remembering is Colonel Blake.
Yeah, like that one, I cannot, like, I must have seen that episode 15 times, and I still cannot get through it without bawling my eyes out every time. But there's so many upbeat things in that show. There's so many moral commentaries in that show that carry on, you know, today and will carry on forward.
There are some who will argue that it's kind of where dark comedy, more black comedy, whatever you want to call it, really kind of got its kickstart into, you know, mainstream public eye. And it's because of the military theme, and that's probably why nobody made a big deal about it at the time. And honestly, speaking as a former military individual myself, that's kind of how we get through the day.
Exactly. Absolutely. I agree. And that's why I think it has so much value, too, is it showcases how, you know, when things get so bad that all you can do is just make it funny any way you possibly can, and that can be okay. You know, it's kind of like, you know, gallows humor with EMS or people in the funeral business and things like that. But I just find, like, there's so many thought-provoking things in that show. And honestly, along the same line as that, Star Trek TNG has a lot of moral commentary in it that is timeless also, and not just because it comes from the quote future, but it was very forward thinking. And both of those shows, I think, are really, really valuable for that, because you can watch them and get something out of it every bloody time.
Tech, now that you're back and you're screwing around with, what is this?
There was a cartoon show called Mask, and I have the Chevy that turned into a tank. Now, since my resolution is such shit, I actually found a screenshot that somebody had taken, and I have all the accessories displayed in this picture. Can you guys see it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm actually holding in my hand. I still have it. It's still fully functional. All the parts are still included. And my son loves to play with it. So, yeah, some of the toys were just fantastic in their day. Now, if I could just figure out how to turn
some. Yeah, that was the golden age of plastic.
Yeah, funny enough, that's gonna play out for me in just a couple of moments. Joey, how about for you?
Well, I was going to go with this one, but I just found out they died last year.
Oh, who's that?
Who's familiar with a fellow by the name of Hans Rudolf Geiger?
Yes, H.R. Geiger, yep.
Yeah, I met him.
As a designer, I have looked at his work many of time. I have done a few projects where I used his work as something of a guideline. If any of you are scratching your head, he's the guy who did the set and creature design for Aliens.
And Aliens 3.
He is pretty much the guy who has set the standard for modern science fiction horror and occult.
Yeah, and even graffiti art. I mean,
he even did some work for Danzig and the Dead Kennedys.
But since he's no longer a viable option, damn it. Thank you, Time, for screwing me over on all my favorite people. Slowly, one by one. I'm going to have to go with... He knows where I'm going with this.
Go ahead and finish it all off, man. Explain it.
Fraggle Rock?
No.
Go to your corner.
I'm sorry. I had to throw it in there because there are similarities in the music. That's all.
The Muppet Show?
How did we even get here? I guess we'll never know. It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
Yeah, the Muppet.
I don't know if any of you had the privilege of watching A Very Wookie Christmas.
No. We will never bring up the Star Wars Christmas special ever again.
I have actually not seen it. I have actually not seen it.
You thank yourself. Be thankful. And you, yeah, you, Frenchie, to your corner. Your corner.
I am still Weird Al Yankovic. I do not have a corner. I'm in a round room.
I just think it's so adorable that both of them got their own separate corners all for themselves. I think this is great.
Yeah, but you see,
Joe's a
statist. He stuck me in the room that's circular, so I'm still trying to find the corner because he realized I was Polish.
There's a penny joke in there somewhere I'm not going to do.
Yeah. And how do you confuse somebody? You put them in a round room and tell them to pee in a corner, but how do they confuse you? They come out later and said they did it.
So, I'm gonna throw with you guys a couple of items, because I wanna make mention to something that is kind of special. I already mentioned All in the Family. And there is a certain thing about the bravery that went into several TV shows of the day. All in the Family being one of them, MASH being one of the others.
Brady Bunch?
No.
Slept in the same bed.
No. All in the Family took on a lot of social issues. Yeah. MASH took on the horrors of trying to stay sane in an insane area and time and place. You had the Jeffersons actually showing to a certain degree, comedic that it might have been, that everybody is pretty much the same. Yeah, they talk a little bit different, and yeah, they've got a little bit of a different attitude, but generally speaking, people are the same. And one of the other TV shows that was mentioned in the Q&A was Big Blue Marble. I remember that. Yeah. We were all the same. Zoom. Bunch of kids that just came together, and they were all different, but we're still people. You know, whatever.
We pointed out problems, you know, social issues, and he sometimes would make recommendations of how to move forward from them.
But it was all from the narrative of a particular story. But the ability to see how we were, to put up the mirror to our current day and who we actually are on a day-to-day basis, that showed up a lot more, as far as I could see, with shows like, you know, All in the Family. It was not typical to deal with the concept of rape, of infidelity, of theft. And it was incredibly eye-opening for a lot of different people. And myself as a kid, getting to see this, I adored Hawkeye because he was quick-witted like crazy. But I never appreciated how much he was trying to hold himself and others together.
And yeah, MASH was... Sorry. Yeah, MASH was a part, because I think most of the 1980s, most of the shows there were... they were dictating a status quo at the same time as they were teaching people how to deal with it. And MASH was, that really marked me. Yeah, I'm sorry to come late to the game with that, but that, I remember especially the episode where it's at the end of the Korean War, and they're actually hiding from the North Korean army that's come in.
Yeah.
And they were also keeping some refugees, and there was a Korean woman there. She had a baby, and the baby was crying. And so said that she had to keep the baby quiet. And they ended up, by keeping the baby quiet, the mother ended up killing it. And that really was an eye-opener about what morals really are. I'd have to explain, go a bit more into explanation, but I mean, really...
Allow me. Yeah. That was the finale of the show.
Mm. Yes.
And it was a moment that broke, to a certain degree, Hawkeye. And if you've never seen the show, short version, as Joe explained it, what do you do? You have a dozen people who will all die, or one life instead. What do you do? How do you live with yourself? How do you deal with that kind of decision? That kind of, from the outside, as a moral question, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Okay, we've heard that one before, and yet... when you're in that moment, how the hell do you deal with that?
You have to be in that moment. That's what was most revelatory about that. And
we were. Hmm. that show took us so inside of these people. These were people who, for MASH, these were actors who knew their parts intimately, who knew their characters to a visceral level. There is one where they had somebody, a war correspondent, come through and film these people with questions. And they were not given a script. They were just told, this is what it's going to be. We're not going to give you a script. We would like you to answer as honestly as you possibly can as each of your characters. And if you watch this particular episode, you will see these were people who knew intimately who these people were, what made them tick. And that was something that was amazing. And even now, almost 40 years later, you can still see in that episode especially how deeply entrenched these people were, how much they touched us because of that honesty.
Actors should and get then, more... Sorry.
Yes, you're quite right. They should get the accolades that they deserve for something like that.
Yeah, because of their insight into the human character that
yes.
they have. They're not very known for that.
And now I want to show you what the absolute opposite of it all is, something that started magnificently, that has been perverted, truly perverted from what it was societally. Candid Camera.
Oh, yeah.
Candid Camera was a wonderful insight into what happens when people are presented with something surprising that's on the outside fringe of what should happen from a day-to-day existence. It was just a simple prank that was done just to say, okay, yeah, you caught me. All right, that's cute. That's funny. You had a bunch of people suddenly running down the street screaming and yelling, and what do? I screamed and yelled with them and got out of the way. Okay, it was funny. It was cute. It was reality TV at its finest, at its most moment. That wasn't news reporting. And now look at what it's become.
Ugh.
Alan Funt would be disgusted.
Yeah.
Art Linkletter would be appalled. And if you don't recognize either of those names, look them up. Art Linkletter especially. Kids say the darndest things.
That was with Bill Cosby.
It eventually, yes, he did bring it back, but we have a lot of memories that are just from the experiences. Right. But for what tech was showing with toys, we have now graduated into an age where for under $500, you can have a 3D printer that can reconstruct your toys and memories from the day.
Granted, they're not perfect reconstructions. We haven't gotten to that level yet. But you can still have a semblance of something that you remember, like the troll doll. All you have to do is go to one of the stores, like Joann Fabrics or something like that, and get the right material to make the hair. And if you can 3D print the doll, there you go. You know, you've got your own custom-made troll doll at that point. Or there was a toy that I actually did collect. There were these little tiny miniatures, and they were known for that they only came in one color, pink, and they were marketed for boys. They were called Muscle Men or Muscle Monsters. Muscle Men. Okay, yeah. So you had them too. And they came in all different shapes and sizes, and even though they were this not-so-awesome shade of pink, they weren't like fluorescent or anything. They just kind of looked like, you know, it was an unfinished product in terms of the coloring. They were still fun to play with. And a lot of the guys that I knew in elementary school actually collected these things, not just me. It wasn't just one person in school collecting. It was a lot of us.
Now, here's the thing.
These are perfect examples of something that could easily be recreated in a 3D printer.
And that's the point. We have now reached what was science fiction and beyond. If we have one of these memories, all we need to do is to try to find out who had one, where are the pictures, and who's halfway decent with 3D modeling software? I'm going to give you guys just one memory of my childhood that has never faded, that I would recreate in a heartbeat with a 3D printer.
Stretch Armstrong?
No. The walkie-talkies from the 70s of the Star Trek communicators.
Yep.
Things are treasured, heavily treasured in collector circles. You could easily pay $500 or more dollars, doesn't matter which, for one that doesn't even work anymore. And technologically speaking, these things were pretty much crap. But they
sure look good.
They did.
There is a guy who's actually trying to recreate his own tricorder.
That there is an X Prize for exactly this kind of thing. ThinkGeek has got a waiting list for people who want the flip communicators, Bluetooth, to connect to your cell phone now. But here's the thing. Anything and everything that you remembered that could be made out of plastics, we have it in our ability now that we could start reconstructing these guys. Our childhood can still be. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know what? I don't know that it really much matters, because when all is said and done, the stuff that we can recreate because it's a toy starts to meet up with what's good and what's interesting and what's going to be helpful. Because just as easily as you can reprint a Star Trek communicator from 1975, you can recreate and reprint someone's larynx that had it ripped away because of cancer, and have it become a new piece so that it can live another 40 years. Science fiction ain't dead. We've just caught up.
Yeah, I get the point. You can stop clubbing me over the head with it. I'm working on it.
As always, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. We hope that you've enjoyed our trip down through memory lane for some of you. And for some of the rest of you that are a little bit young, that you don't remember these firsthand, we hope that you found something interesting to look into, because Tron is not just a movie for some of us. It's a memory.
They canceled the making of Tron 3.
We'll talk about it later. Meantime, we hope that you found something interesting in all of our perspectives. We know that we're not the worst show in the world, but we ain't got to be setting any medals on our shoulders. But we still think it's worthwhile of what we got. As always, everybody, thank you so very much for your time. Joseph, good morning. Thank you so much. And you have a great, well, what's left of the weekend, at least.
Yeah, well, it's going to be another work day for me. But thank you, sir, for having me on.
You start wearing a shirt that's got, you know, lapels and everything. People call you sir. Tech, good morning. And you take care of yourself. Where are you? Yes, they're working on it. Cut it out.
The tricorder is called tricorderproject.org. And the guy is literally trying to make a tricorder that do the same things within scientific limitations or technological limitations that we saw the tricorders of Star Trek Next Generation do. And he's already on a Mark II, which looks, there's some of the pictures there, using the newer TFT display, touch displays and things like that, and the newer adapters and connectors to make it even more applicable, more realistic in size and capability. And it's just, you know, you want to see science fiction start to become science fact. Take your butt over to that page, punch it into punch it into your browser and take a peek at it. And you just go, wow, you know, we can do this.
Make sure I've got the link in the group chat, and I'll add it to the, to the info. So thank you so much, man.
No problem, man. I love being here.
Joey, you take care of yourself, man. You get some rest, please, eventually.
Look, I put my blazer on, too, but the first one of you to call me sir, I'm stabbing you in the face with a soldering iron.
Ouch!
Okay, ma'am.
Still an officer rank. And don't think
stab
that...
Stab a face with a soldering iron. I know what that feels like for some reason.
And just because you're on the other side of the pond doesn't mean I can't swim.
Nice.
Somehow nice. I can just hear the line in my head now. I only doggy paddle. So get that reference. Bridget,
you're talking to my friend all wrong. You do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Bridget, hey. I'm saying goodnight to Bridget here. We got things to do. Don't interrupt the lady. You want to interrupt somebody? Wait for Heretic Woman. Good night, Bridge. Thank you.
Bye.
You remind me so much of Jamie Summers right now. I don't know what it is. It might be the hair. It could be the tinted glasses. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but okay, I'll take it.
That's the Bionic Woman, baby.
There you go. Yes, back before she was a Cylon, I guess is the best way to put it. Heretic Woman, thank you so much. Plug all the things.
Well, of course, there is Beyond the Trailer Park Mondays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And there is My Secular Savior at mysecularsavior.com. And our new show, Atheist Apocalypse, we actually have a release date now for August 17th. So we will be releasing on iTunes and I want to say Stitcher? iTunes for sure. And you can find out more at atheistapocalypse.com and also our Facebook page, Atheist Apocalypse for Those Left Behind. We're still throwing out all kinds of teasers and tidbits of information. But episode 2 is finished. And we are working on episode 3, and episode 1 will be released on August 17th. And there is, on August 22nd, the non-conference for non-believers in Kitchener. So if you don't have a ticket yet, go and get a bloody ticket, because it's going to be phenomenal, with Lawrence Krauss, and Mr. Deity is speaking, and Faisal Al-Muhtar, and of course, Ensaf Haider, and... not this Monday, the next Monday, I'm actually having Ensaf and Faisal on Beyond the Trailer Park, so make sure to tune into that too, because that's going to be really exciting, and we're really looking forward to that. And I think that's everything.
But collectively, we need to make one last item. Actually, there's two last items. First one for Bridget. Congratulations. Thank you very much for being on with Jake and making Nick sound conscious and sober and plugging the show. That was very kind of you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you guys heard. She was actually pretty good. She had a lot of fun.
Thanks.
She didn't have to be edited or nothing. Although I know for well, if I get on that show the next time out, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to start the show at negative 37 points. Go me.
And the points don't matter.
Well, actually, they kind of do.
Remember, you earn points not just for correct answers, but interesting ones.
Very much so. And all of you that have been paying attention and chiming in over on the Q&A, all wonderful stuff, all great memories. And I'd love to go through all of them, but we got to get our asses on out of here. We've been running long. But... we've been looking through them, and I know I've been looking through a whole bunch of these, and wow, memories and memories and memories. So thank you guys. Maybe we'll revisit this again. Maybe we'll see if we can nail down a more specific topic for you guys, and we'll see what comes of it. If you'd like to make recommendations on that, by all means, drop an email over to us at podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. And if you want to subscribe to the audio feed or the Facebook page, G+, Twitter, swing on over, holycrapthevlogcast.com, and we've got all the links for you over there. We're working on the domain. We kind of found and tracked down a little bit of what's been going weird with it, so we'll get in there. Don't worry about it. I'm going to tell the guys about what's gone wrong over there once we get off the air, because, wow, really dumb stuff. But don't worry about it. And I do have a topic for next week's show already. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's kind of a heady topic, and I know full well I'm going to piss off some people. Uh-oh. And it's not intentional. Yeah. When we get up to that next week's show, everybody will tell you, yeah, it was better that I waited to tell everybody, so don't worry about it. Meantime, as always, everybody, thank you for hanging out with us. We will catch you guys next week. And of course, as always, I say my goodnights for all of you. I say my goodnights for my lady, too, because 10 years on, I'm still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. As always, until the very next time we get together, everyone, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.